Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma Daf Kuf Yotes, the last part of the Masechta Beis Hashem Yisbarach, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yotes Amud Beis, 8 line from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Baisus Loich Mehen Vidbarius Ein Loich Mehen. Again, we had discussed in the previous shiur, in the previous Mishnah, the Gemara had discussed what may or may not be bought from shepherds or from other individuals, with the concern that they may be selling stolen items. So the Mishnah said, Rabbi Huda in the Braisa continued saying that we Baisus Loichem Hen, we're allowed to buy domesticated sheep from them, and the Barius Ein Loichem Hen, but not sheep from the wild. We buy Lu. And the Gemara poses a question in trying to understand Rabbi Huda's opinion. Rabbi Huda Reisha Koyel Chumra. Is Rabbi Huda speaking towards the Reisha and he's being a machmer, as the Gemara will explain the question in a moment, or maybe Rabbi Huda speaking to the Sefer and actually is trying to teach us a kula? Explains the Gemara. A Reisha Kail Chumra. Do we say that Rabbi Huda is addressing the Reisha and he's saying a Chumra? Domer, that the Tanakam in the Reisha said, Loichem Hen Abba V'chamisha Tzoyin, we'll have to buy 4 or 5 sheep from the shepherd, Hani Mili Baisis, when was that said, says Rabbi Huda Dafka, if the domesticated sheep, Avil Medbarius, if the sheep are from the wild, so we're concerned that the owner won't know about the sale of those sheep, even if he's selling as many as 4 or 5 sheep, and therefore, according to Rabbi Huda, even 4 or 5 non-domesticated sheep are Asur, which would represent a chumra, or perhaps Rabbi Huda speaking to the Sefer, that Ulkula, Rabbi Huda is teaching us a kula. It said, the Tanakam, so we're now by 2 sheep, Hani Mili, says Rabbi Huda, Midbarius, non-domesticated sheep. If it's only 2 sheep, we may not buy, for we have to be concerned that they're stolen goods. Avobaisis, where Rabbi Huda is going to hold, if they're domesticated, so there we could assume safely that the owner is aware if they're being sold or they're missing. Rabbi Yehuda will hold that shtayim nami loichem, domesticated sheep, even 2 will be allowed to buy. Toshma. So the Gemara answers the question from the following braisa. The Tanya Yehuda Omer loichem baisis mehen, we're allowed to buy domesticated sheep from the shepherds. Vein loichem mehem baris, but we may not buy non-domesticated sheep. Become makom anywhere. Holds Rabbi Yehuda, Leichman Abba Chamisha Tzayin. 4 or 5 may be bought. Mida Amar, since Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out, Bekom Mokoyim, anywhere, so what Rabbi Yehuda is trying to say is that even in the Midbarius, Shema Mino, Sefer Kaila Kula, and he's teaching us that only in the Midbarius is there a problem of buying 2 sheep. But Baisis, we could even buy as few as 2. Shema Mina, Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us a kula. V'loy Mishem Reperis, we also spoke about that one may not buy from watchmen, because we're concerned again that they're selling stolen goods. Says the Gemara, Rava Zovin Shibishta Marisa. Rava bought a bundle of grapevines from a sharecropper. Amar Abaya, so Abaya asked him, V'otnan, didn't we learn, V'loy Mishem Reperis, Eitzim Reperis, we're not allowed to buy from watchmen different items because we're concerned that they're stolen. Amalei, so he responded, Hani Meili, what was our Mishnah Braisa referring to, B'shoyma, the Lesley Begufa, the Aramidi, when the watchman doesn't have any equity in the property itself? And therefore, we have to be concerned that he's selling stolen goods. Aval Oris, when we refer to a sharecropper, this Lebe Gavai, that he gets a portion of the proceeds of the property. I remember the Nafshe Kamazman, there we could safely assume that he's selling something that he owns himself, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that he's selling stolen items. Says the Bryce, Tanur Rabbanan, Shomrei Peiros, people who are selling property, selling fruits, loich mehen, we may buy for them, kishin yosh for mechrim, when they're sitting out in the open and selling. For salim lufneim, the fruit baskets are in front of them, for trot lufneim, and the scales, they're not ashamed of what they're doing. However, the kulan sh'amr hatmein, if they ever say that hide what you're selling, there, also we're not allowed to buy from them, because that's a real red flag that they're selling stolen items. The Rishonim point out that the Braisa, by using the word kulan, is teaching us that only by an individual we have reason to be concerned that he's selling stolen goods. That's where it's usur. But an individual that we have no reason to be concerned that he's selling stolen good, they we allowed to buy anything from them. Furthermore, we're allowed to sell from them when they're sitting at the front of the garden, at the entrance of the garden. Again, that's a red flag that they're selling stolen item. Itmar, gazlam. From when may somebody buy something from a gazlan, and we don't have to be concerned that it's stolen item. Rav Omar, Rav says, Achtei Roy Mishaloi, when we could be certain that most of the items are his. That's why we could buy from him. Shmuel on the other hand holds, Afil Miet Mishaloi, even if a minority of what he has are his items, we are allowed to buy from him. Oyrele Rav Yehuda L'Ada Daila, Rav Yehuda Paskin for Adar, his attendant, Kedivra Oyma Afil Miet Mishaloi, even if only a minority of what he has is his, we could still buy from him. And obviously, Mepharshim ask, how can we be lenient and buying from him when we only know that a minority of the items are his? So the tariffs that most give is that if we were certain that what he's selling is stolen items, then even Shmuel would agree that we can't buy from him. Here we're referring to a situation that we don't know for sure that he has stolen items. It's he is known to be a gazlan, but that doesn't mean we know for sure that this item is stolen. So that's why we could buy from him, even if we know that a miut that he's selling is his. But of course, if we know for sure that he's selling a stolen item, we would not be allowed to buy. The Taz answers that we follow the rule that we've mentioned many times of kol kavua kamechza mechza, and here, since it's a kavua kamechza mechza, that's why we could buy from him. Other achronim discuss that we know that the opinion of Shmuel throughout Shas is that ein holchem b'mamon achar roiv. When it comes to financial issues, we don't follow the roiv, and that's why here too, even if the roiv that he has are stolen items, we don't follow the roiv. Says the Gemara, Mamon Masur, as we discussed earlier in the Perek, the terrible sin of a Masur. And now our Gemara starts speaking about the money of a Masur. How do we dispose, or how do we look at that Mamon? It's interesting to point out that I saw in the Mepharshim ask, why is he called a Masur? Shouldn't he be called a Meiser, as he is informing and giving over information about people's situation to others? So I saw a beautiful pshat, which fits right into this Gemara. Meiser means that he's giving over people's items to others. The truth is that he isn't doing it. Anything that happens to us happens to us because Hashem wants that to happen. So he isn't the Meiser, but a Moser, as Al Gemara is about to teach us, that all of his money, or he himself, as we're going to discuss, is given over to be killed, or his money could be taken away. Moser, that his money is Moser to others, that is the halacha. Rav Huna Rav Yehuda, Charam Mutalav B'Yad, one could destroy his property, and one says that you may not. Mandam mutalav biyad, the one that says that you may, we certainly shouldn't treat his money more stringently than we treat him. And if we're allowed to kill him, Of course, the Mefarshim say, the Rishonim say, we're only allowed to kill him if he's a habitual Moser. And furthermore, we're only allowed to kill him when we know that he's going to continue this terrible habit. But if we don't think that he's going to continue this terrible habit, then we are not allowed to kill him. Manda osel abdoi dima havalei zara ma'alya. We have to be concerned that perhaps he'll have fine children. V'ksiv, and the pasuk says, yochen rosha v'tzadik yobosh. The tzadik, the rosha prepares for the tzadik, and his children may be good children. However, the paiskim point out that even according to the opinion that we're not allowed to actively destroy his property, certainly b'derech groma, not a direct destruction, is permissible. Furthermore, the Shach says that even though our Gemara is bringing down an opinion that we're not allowed to destroy his money, we're not allowed to take away his money from him, however, if his entire sphere of influence, says the Shach, is based on the fact that he's a wealthy person, and that's why he has influence, and that's why what he says is listened to, then, and by taking away his money, we'll be able to strip him of that ability, then everybody will agree that we're allowed to take away, cause him to lose his money. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda Havlei Hu Arisa. Rav Chisda had a sharecropper, David Tokel V'Yov, Tokel V'Shokel. He would weigh what he took from Rav Chisda and weigh what he gave Rav Chisda. Salka, and Rav Chisda removed him from his possession and from his position. Kara Nafshevit saw it from the tzaddik and stored away for the tzaddikim ha'achete, the wealth of a sinner. So Rashi gives two pshatim and what the problem was with this oris. One pshat, Rashi says, with this oris was that he was an individual who was very careful, very exact in making sure that he got his exact share. Another pshat that Rashi, and that's why Rav Chisda wanted him removed, and he was satisfied when he was removed. Another pshat that Rashi suggests is that he got a 50% share instead of most arisim who got just a third. And both pshatim are Rashi, the Mashok questions, and many other Mefarshim questions. According to the first pshat, that this individual was careful to receive exactly what he was supposed to, so what's wrong? He got what he was supposed to, he took what belonged to him, and he gave what was supposed to be given to him. And according to the second pshat, that was the deal that was made up, that he'll get 50%. So why was Rav Chisda not satisfied with this individual? So because of this, the Mashah has a different pshat. The Mashah's pshat is that he had two different weights, and he used each weight when it was beneficial to him. In other words, when it was beneficial to the Oris that he should get a bigger share, he used one weight, and when it came to give Rav Chisda his share, he used a different weight. The Gra says pshat that, as we know, Rav Chisda was a Kohen, Rav Chisda was a Talmud Chacham, and that the Oris should have shown the proper respect to Rav Chisda and let Rav Chisda get his portion first. But he didn't show Rav Chisda that proper respect. Rather, he took his share first, and that was why Rav Chisda was upset. Another pshat that the Mefarshim say is that although an answer of Rashi's approach is that although this Oris did follow the exact terms of the deal, it was quite customary in those times for the Oris to give up a little from his own portion. This Oris did not do that. He didn't give Rav Chisda, who was the owner of the property, what he was supposed to. So the Mefarshim asked one more question. So why was Rav Chisda so happy to remove him from his possession? Rav Chisda owned the field, and certainly if Rav Chisda wanted to have him removed, Rav Chisda had every right to remove him. What was so special that Rav Chisda was so happy? So Farshim answered that although Rav Chisda had every right as the owner of the field to remove him, It was not customary in those days for somebody to remove an oris from his position. Once somebody had a position, it was very hard to remove him. And here, the Rav Chisda was successful in removing him, and without any problem, that's why Rav Chisda was so particularly satisfied. The Gemara goes in to discuss a pasuk that speaks about ganovim. Says the pasuk, "Kimatikvas chanev ki yiftza ki yishal alkay nafshay." What does a hypocrite hope for when he steals? Hashem will cast away his soul. Rav Huna Rav Chisda. And we have here a debate of Rav Huna Rav Chisda. Who is the pasuk referring to? Chad amar nafshi de nigzel. It's talking about the nefesh of the victim. Chad amar nafshi shel gazlan. And the other man d'amar says that it's referring to the nefesh of the gazlan. Man d'amar nafshi shel nigzel. The one that says that it's referring to the nefesh of the nigzel, the ksiv. Kein orchus ka boitzei betza. So is the way of anyone who steals, as nafesh be'aloi b'yikach. By stealing from somebody, it's like taking away that person's neshama. Man d'amar nafshi shel gazlan, the ksiv, al tigz adal, don't steal from a poor person, ki dalhu, v'al tidake oni b'shar, k'shem yorv rivam, v'koyve es k'neim nafesh. Kosh Baruch will fight and rob the soul of those who rob them, which obviously means that it's going to refer to the person who is the robber. Now, first, Rashi also says that when the pasuk says "Valtatke ani bishar," it refers to people who hold back from giving the ani, ma'isa ani, the leken and the shicha and peya that are due to them. Or the Mashah explains that the pasuk means that sometimes you have a person who's poor and he can only afford to buy on credit, or he's strapped and he has to sell things that he normally wouldn't sell. And the pasuk is saying, "Al tatke oni bashar," don't mistreat this person, knowing that he's in difficult times and forcing him into bad deals. Vidach nami. As the Gemara doesn't say nefesh b'ka'olav yikach, which indicates that the pasuk is referring to the victim. My balav, answered the Gemara, what does balav mean? Balav the hashta. The current owner, the gazlan, becomes the owner, as we know. Vidach nami yiksiv, the koyves kaveim nefesh. So obviously it refers to the robber. Answered the Gemara, ma tam kamer. The way to understand the pasuk according to this mandomer is ma tam v'koyves kaveim. Why will HaKadosh Baruch Hu rob those who rob? Mishnu kabay nefesh, because they caused that the soul of the victim should leave, and as a einish for them doing that, they will ultimately also die. Amar Reb Yochanan, kol hagozel chaver shava prutoi. If somebody steals from somebody else, even the value of a pruta, kilu noitel nishmasoi benenu. It's as if he takes away his life. And I saw a number of pshatim why. One pshat is because there are people, as we know, the Gemara Masechta Bracha says, shememaynam chavavalei migufam. Their money is more valuable to them than their actual life. And if you take away their money, it's like you're taking away their life. Another pshat, we know the Gemara says, it's difficult to get a panasa, and if you take away the money somebody if you take away somebody's money that he had to work so hard for, it's like taking away his life. Another pshat, as we've learned a number of times in this Masechta, that in the situation of stealing, sometimes we could call bob machteris, we know, can end up with death. So there is an element of mesiras nefesh to death. So ask the Mefarshim, the Divrei Shaul asks, if our Gemara is saying that by robbing somebody, it's like taking away his life, so why is the halacha that if you kill somebody, you're mechuyev misa? But if you rob somebody, you're not mechuyev misa. So Taisus answers, the Rishol answers, that even though we're obviously learning that by stealing from somebody, it's a very serious aveira, it still cannot be considered equal. It's not positive that by stealing from somebody, he will die. As we explained just now, it's possible that that may happen to an individual, but it's not certain that that will happen. And we only could be mechayiv somebody misa when we know for sure that what he did will cause death. Anything else, we can't be mechayiv somebody misa. Shenema, ken orchus kabetzei betza, so is the way of anyone who steals, as nefesh ba'al of yikach, he takes away the soul of his owner. V'ayim of ochel k'tzirch v'lachmecha, Yachlu b'necha b'nesecha. Nemar is going to explain why we need all these pasukim. Vaymer b'chamas b'nei Yehuda asher shafach dam naki b'artzam. Chamson and people who took from others by force caused blood to be shed. Vaymer ashor b'beis hadamim asher hemis as hagvoinim. May vaymer. Ask the Gemara, as we said, why do we need all of these pasukim? V'chi teima, we would think nefesh today. It's only the nefesh of the person who he stole from, it's as if he killed. Avon nefesh benayis of loy, the robber will not be held responsible for what he does to the family of the victim. Tashma basar bonav benayis of. So that's why the Gemara quotes a pasuk of basar bonav benayis of. V'chitei mahani miyuli heich de loyav domi. This is only applicable where the ganav didn't pay. Avol heich de yav domi. Even if he forced himself, but if he paid loy, then the din should not be the same din. Tashma. So the Gemara brings another pasuk. Mechamas b'nei Yehuda asher shafcha dam naki b'artzam. The pasuk refers to chamsonim. That we know the definition of a chamson is an individual who pays for what he took. Just it was done by force. V'chi teima, hayna mila heichadav b'yadayim. When somebody actively stole, av a grum aloy, if all he did was just a grummer, it won't have the same din. Toshma, ashol v'abeis hadamim, regarding shol and the beis hadamim, asher hemis as hagvoinim. So the question is, v'heich metzinu shaharuk shol as hagvoinim, where do we ever find that shol killed the gvoinim that he should be held responsible? Al metoich, says the Gemara, shaharag noiv ir kahanim. Because Shaul killed noiv ir kahanim, sapkel hamayim and mazon, that they would supply the kahanim would supply food to the gvoinim, and Shaul killed the kahanim, malo of a kasu kil hargim, it's considered as if Shaul killed them directly. So Mefarshim asks, we know that it wasn't Shaul directly himself who killed Noiv Ir Kahanim. It were his soldiers that did it. So why should Shaul be held responsible? Don't we have a rule that ain't Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? So the Aruch Lener says that even though the rule is that ain't Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, certainly Min HaShemayim, a person gets punished for being the cause of somebody else to do an Aveira. Another pshat is that ein shlich l'dvar aveira is only by a regular individual. However, if a king tells somebody to do an aveira, it's very likely that the person is going to listen to what the king commands him to do. And therefore, the concept of ein shlich l'dvar aveira does not apply by a king. So Mefarshim also asked, why did the Kahanim have to supply water to the Gevoinim? On the contrary, wasn't it the job of the Gevoinim to supply water to the Kahanim? So they obviously had enough water. So why did the Kahanim have to supply them? So the Masha answers, since the Gevoinim were not really part of Klal Yisrael, and they would have to go, and so they didn't have their own source of water from where to supply to have their own supply. Another pshat is that the job of the Gevoinim was to supply the Mizbeach with what it needed. Now, if the Mizbeach, if the Kohanim will be killed, which is what Shaul did, then there won't be any work for the Mizbeach, and they won't have a source of income. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gevoinim, when they supplied the Mizbeach, they didn't have to supply the Mizbeach sweet drinking water. Because as we know, the Mizbeach is not really drinking, it's the Mizbeach. It's only So what they would do was that they would supply the Mizbeach water, which really wasn't portable, and the Kohanim in exchange would give them portable water. But now that the Kohanim were killed out, they didn't have with whom to have this arrangement anymore. We spoke about what you're allowed to purchase for married women. Loichem and Anoshim, Klei Tzemer by Yehuda. We're allowed to buy woolen garments in Yehuda, the Klei Pishtim by Golol, and linen garments in Golol. Because these are items that we could assume that they got not through stealing. Avlo Yain and Shman and Vesaltis, we're not allowed to buy from them wine or oil or flour, because we're concerned that they got them without permission from their husband. V'loim avodim, v'loim tenoikis, nor may we buy from slaves or children. Abishalom and Moicheres Isha ba'aba v'chamisha dinner. If a woman is selling just a small amount of goods for 4 or 5 dinner, could they last as keep a l'roisha, so she should have enough to buy a covering for her head? That we could assume she got legally, her husband gave it to her so she could earn enough to buy it for herself. The kulan sh'amr lahatman, wherever there is a concern that wherever the woman says, don't let anybody know what I'm selling you, there we have to be concerned that that's a red flag, and also one may not buy from them. Continues the Gemara. Gabit stocka lochman dover muot. We're allowed to buy from them. A gabit stocka collecting stocka can collect from them just a small amount. Avloy dover meruba, not something substantial. Favadorim. Oil aleph presses. Lochman zeisma mida v'shemen mida. We could buy from them small, what they call a large amounts of oil or olives, because obviously the husband would be aware if they were selling them. Small amounts we're not allowed to, because we're afraid that they might have stolen them and are selling them. This is the girsa that we're going to work with, that we're allowed to buy in Gola Elyon a small amount of olives from the women. Sometimes a husband is embarrassed to stand in public and sell it, and he doesn't have enough money to live, so he asks his wife to sell. Another pshat that I saw is that the girsa is, as the Gemara says, b'moyed, that even though normally on Chol HaMoed one is not allowed to buy or sell, here these items may be bought or sold Chol HaMoed under these circumstances, because the halach is that in Chol HaMoed work may be done l'tzayrich yontif. Says the Gemara, Ravina Iklal Bei Mechuza. Ravina came to the city of Mechuza. Also Noshed Bei Mechuza. The women of Mechuza came and Rama Kameh Kavli Vesheri gave him for tztaka. Ravina was a gabit tztaka. They gave him their gold chains and bracelets. And Kavim and Ayu, he accepted them from them. Omle Ravat has followed Ravina Vatanya gabit tztaka Mekamahem Dovim Muot Avloi Dovim Meruba. We're only allowed to take from them a small amount, not a large amount. As far as the Bnei Mechuza are concerned, this for them, they were very wealthy, this is not considered a significant amount, and therefore I'm allowed to take it from them. It's interesting that the Paiskim make a number of Piskei Halacha, Noda Behuda has some tshuvas on this subject. And he says that even though our Gemara says that we're allowed to take from a woman a Dover Mu'ud, it's only in a situation where the husband, we don't know that the husband protests. But if the husband doesn't let the wife even give a dover muot, then even that amount may not be taken. On the other hand, the Noda Behuda says that if a woman comes and gives a substantial amount, but she says that she has permission from her husband to give this amount, we could trust that the woman is saying the truth and accept it from her. However, the Paiskim also want to discuss that perhaps nowadays that women are more independent and women go to work and earn their own money, perhaps nowadays it's even more lenient that one may accept tzedakah from a married woman. Now, Farshim also ask that we know that the pasuk says that the women v'yivoy ha'noshim al ha'noshim kol devlev haviyo hoch v'nezem. So we see that the women donated significant amounts to the Beis HaMikdash. So why, based on the Gemara, were they allowed to accept it? So the pasuk pshat is that the pasuk itself answers that question, because the pasuk says v'yivoyu ha'noshim al hanoshim, that the men were there. We're only concerned if the women are giving or selling without the men, without the husband's permission. But here we see that the men were there and they gave permission, and therefore it's no problem. Another pshat is that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, in the time of the Mishkan, they lived on the Mon and they had the Bizas Mitzrayim. So since they were very wealthy, it's similar to the situation like we have about the Bnei Mechuzah, that that was considered a Dover Mu'at. And a Dover Mu'at, that we learned, you're allowed to accept from married women. We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the last Mishnah of the Masechta. The Mishnah discusses when somebody is working for someone else, which leftover items belong to the worker, which leftover items don't belong to the workers, and he's not allowed to keep. So says the Mishnah. Muchen shakaybis moitze. Pieces of wool that a launderer of woolen garment removes during the process, hareyo shaloi, remain the property of the launderer. Vasorik moitzik hare, vasorik moitzik, but what the person who combs the wool, hareyo shabalabais, that belongs to the balabais. And the mefarshim give number reasons. The simple reason is that during the sweep of parish process, significant amount of wool come out, so that the Baal Bais doesn't give up. During the laundering process, there isn't such a significant amount coming out, and therefore the worker may keep it. Another pshat that I saw is during the kvisa process, it's certain that some wool is going to fall out. And since it's certain that some wool falls out, when somebody gives his clothing over to launderer, he knows that that's what he should expect, that he's going to lose some wool. However, it's not necessarily the case that that's what's going to happen during Srika, and therefore he wasn't moichel on it. Continues the Mishnah, Kaibis noitel shoyel shchutin vein shaloy shaloy. The launderer is allowed to keep the three threads at the edge of the garment. Yes, McCain, if they're more than three threads, Hareisha Balabais, they belong to the Balabais. In my Yishoch Gabaloven, but if these threads were black threads and the garment was a white thread, so the owner doesn't want the black threads anyway, it's not nice to have black threads on the edge of a white garment. Noitlas a Kovah and Shloy, then the worker can keep all of them. If a tailor left over enough thread with which to sew, or matlashi sholos, or a piece of cloth that's three etzbos by three etzbos, hareil shvalbais, they belong to the owner. Mashacharish moitz b'matzer, whatever a carpenter gets with a special type of utensil that he cuts with, hareil shaloi, belong to him. Bekoshel, but whatever chips fall off from a hatchet, shebal bayis, belong to the bal bayis. V'maya oisei to bal bayis, if he's working on the owner's premises, af hanesor shebal bayis, even sawdust belongs to bal bayis. Most Rishonim explain that the Mishnah is teaching us there's a difference if you're working on the premises of the owner or you're working in your own premises. Others want to differentiate if you're working and you're getting paid by the day, or you're working and getting paid by the job. Tanabon. Loichim moichim in a kovis. We're allowed to buy the pieces of wool from the kovis, neisha and shalai, because they belong to him. A kovis noitel shnei chutim hal yoinim. The launderer is allowed to take off the top two threads, vein shalai, and they belong to him. Vloyataboy miyoisa shalai shachuvim. He should not, when they would put up the material, they would have loops attached to two pieces of wood. He should not make more than three stitches. V'layisrik ha-beged l'shoshyoy, he shouldn't comb the beged vertically, el arkoy horizontally. U'mashvei l'arkoy, when he cuts off the stretched out pieces that he tied to these pieces of wood, he should only cut it off along the length, avloy l'rachboy, not along the width. V'mbo l'ashvoy sa'atefach, and if he plans to even it out by cutting off up to a piece up to the size of a tefach, rishoy, he may do so. Says the Gemara, Amar, Shnei Chutin, In the Brice it says that he's allowed to take through two threads of garment. Vonantanan asked the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah Shalosh, that he's allowed to take, the launderer is allowed to take three threads. How do we reconcile these two opinions? Answer the Gemara, Loikasha. Habalimi, when we're dealing with thick threads, he's only allowed to take two threads. Vabatini, when we're dealing with thin threads, he's allowed to take only up to three. Says the Gemara further, V'lo yitzroig habeg l'shashoy, he's not allowed to comb the beged vertically, elo l'arkoy, only horizontally. Ask the Gemara v'tanya ipcha, we learned just the opposite, that you should do it vertically, not horizontally. And it's the Gemara l'kasha. Habaglima, when we're talking about an everyday garment that tears easily, so it's better to comb it horizontally. Habasabla, when we're dealing with a better clothing, Shabbos clothing, and there we want the clothing to look nicer, we're not that concerned with durability, there we should do it, there it should be done vertically. Says the Gemara further, he should not sew more than three stitches that he puts as he's putting it on these edges to weave. When we count the edges, how do we count these edges? When we count these stitches, I mean, how do we count them? Do we say that going back and forth with the needle is considered one stitch? Idilma, Amtuiva Suya, going back and forth, Trey is already considered two stitches. Teku, this remains a question. Umeshvei L'Arkoi, Avloi L'Rachkoi. And he's allowed to even out the garment along its length, but not along its width. Ask the Gemara V'Tanya Ipcha, where we learned in another Brai, suggest the opposite, that it should do by its width, not by its length. Answer the Gemara L'Kasha. Habaglima, when we're talking with a coat, so there, where the length is visible, when it's worn, it should be combed along its length. Habemune, when we're talking about a belt, where we don't see the length, we only see the width, there it should be combed in its width. Tanabon, ein loichim and asarik muchen, we're not allowed to buy from a comber wool. We have to be concerned that the wool that he's selling is not wool that he really owns. However, in a makam where the minig is that he's allowed to keep the wool, so they are loichim. But kam makam loichim and kamal imuchin, everywhere we're allowed to buy from these individuals a pillow full of wood, v'kesis malay imuchin, or mattress full with wood. Ask the Gemara my tama, why shouldn't we be concerned that this is stolen wool? Answer the Gemara kenina b'shinui, because he bought it. He made a shinui by putting into the pillow on the mattress, and that's why even if it's stolen, it becomes his. Ask the Mefarshim, we've learned in this Masechta, Baruch Hashem, so many times that a shinui, to be considered a shinui, has to be a significant shinui. Filling a blanket or a mattress or a pillow is not a significant shinui. So Mefarshim answer that only in a situation where we know for sure that there was a gzela, there we need a significant shinui. Here, we don't know for sure that he stole it, so even an insignificant shinui is adequate. Others say, the Meir Tzvi says this pshat, that we could assume that the owner was miyash, so since we have a combination of yush and a weak, even though it's a weak shinui, it's enough that it should become the property of a gazlins, and we could buy it from him. We're not allowed to buy from a weaver. Loi irin. Irin was like a piece of wool that they would put on the equipment that they would weave with. Loi nirin. Nirin is also a type of a loop that they used to put on the loom. Loi punklin. No, could we buy another piece of equipment, v'lashir b'kuros, not leftover pieces, spools of thread. Avloch mehen beg menumer, we're allowed to buy from them a spotted beged, erev v'shasi, we could buy the different types of thread, the horizontal or the vertical thread, tavi v'arig, or we could buy from him spun threads or woven cloth. Amri, asked the Gemara, hashta tavishekli, if we could buy spun thread from a weaver, because there was a shinui orug, so certainly we're allowed to buy woven. There was, as we're learning, isn't there a greater shinui by orug than by tavi? So if tavi is considered a shinui and we could buy it, certainly we should be allowed to buy orug. Answers the Gemara, my orug, what does the Brice mean when it says orug toki? It means woolen chains that are woven from unspun wool, and there isn't a very significant shinui, and yet the Brice says we could buy such material from them. Tana Bonin, Ein Loichem and Tzaba, we're now allowed to buy from a dyer, Loi Isis. What used to happen was that somebody wanted to have their wool dyed, they would bring it to the dyer and give a small piece of wool that for the dyer to examine if this wool will absorb the color. And the owner is really entitled to take that back. But sometimes they forget. But the dyer has no right to sell it. V'loi dugmas, he's not allowed to, we're not allowed to take from them color samples. V'loi tlushim sotzema, we're not allowed to take off pieces of torn wool. Avloch mehen beged tzavua, we could buy from them a dyed beged tavui, or if it's woven, a spun threads, or the garden that we can buy clothing that was made from color samples. Ask the Gemara, hash the tavi shakel, you could just buy thread from them, the garden we buy, certainly we should buy from them clothing, because clothing is more of a shinui than just threads. Answers the Gemara, my begodim, what do we mean here by begodim? Namti, pieces of felt, which were not made by sewing together, which pressed together, that's not a significant shinui. Tanabonin, hanoisen iris labdon, if somebody gives hides to a tanner, haktsuin vatalushin, the trimmings of the hides, and the torn off wool, hareil shabalabais, belong to the balabais. Va'oila, Meshet of Amayim, what comes out of what was put in such a water rinse, Hareil Shaloi belonged to the tanner. Imma Yishachar, the Mishnah said that the laundry is only allowed to take three threads. However, if the threads at the edge were a different color than the beged, then you could keep them all. Amar Yehuda, Katsra Shmei, that a launderer was called a Katsra, for Katsra Shokalei, and he's allowed to take what he cuts off. Katsra's Lashon Katsra, to cut. What's cut off, he's allowed to keep. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hakal Oilim Laminyan Tchelis, the threads that are generally removed are counted towards the halach of Tzitzis, which means as follows. The halach is that we know that Tzitzis have to be put on the edge of a garment. However, there are halachas. The tzitzis can't be put directly on the edge. There's a certain amount, kemole a goydel, that the tzitzis have to be distanced from the edge. Says the Gemara that these threads, if they're not removed, are considered part of the garment when it comes to measure that shear. Rabbi Yehuda commented, the Yitzchak Bari, Kapralayu. So the way Mefarshim explained was like this. There was a question, there's a halacha, as we just said, that it has to be a distance of Kamala Goydel. But there's also a halacha that he has to keep it. There's also a halacha that it can't be too far away. So Reb Yitzchak, in order to avoid any questions, would just cut off these edges, and he wouldn't have any shilas regarding the shiurim, regarding the tzitzis. Says the Gemara, Hashayer Shishere Chut, we learned in the Mishnah that if the tailor left over enough thread to sew with, it belongs to the owner. The Kamalitva, how much is enough thread left over that it has to be returned to the owner? Amar Vasi, Mala Machet, the amount of thread equal to needle's length, for Chutzl Machet, and some thread beyond the needle. Ask the Gemara, Bailuhu, when we say this shear, what does it mean? Mali machet, the chutz l'machet k'mali machet, a needle's length that you need to put into the needle, and another amount equal to that amount. Adilma mali machet, a needle's length, the chutz l'machet, outside of that, even a mashu has to be returned. Toshma, the Tanya, hachai shishayir tazchut, if a tailor has left over a length of thread, pochs mechdei litvaba, less than the amount that you need to sew with, or matlis, or he has a piece of material, shibchusim shalosh shalosh, less than 3 etzbos or 3 etzbos. So the halach is as follows. This ban shabal bayis, makbir aleim, if the owner is makbid, then ha'erei elu shebalabayis, then it belongs to the balabayis, and balabayis makbid alayim. But if the balabayis is not makbid, ha'erei elu shaloi, the tail is allowed to keep it. So says the Gemara. It will say what the Gemara means, that the amount they're allowed to keep is the amount they put into the needle plus an equal amount past that. So pach mikan, for less than this amount, chazalich sichsa, it could be put onto a certain loop at the edge of the weaving machine. Eliam moloi machet v'chutz l'machet mashahu. So how can we have a situation that the balabayis should be mapping on that amount? Pachs mikan l'may chazi. He can't do anything with such a small amount of thread. Shmal mino, moloi machet v'chutz l'machet k'moloi machet, shmal mino. The Mishnah said, Masha charish, the chips that are left over belong to the owner. Vermini, Masha charish, might see the masid. It says in the Braisa, whatever shavings the carpenter removes with the matzid, what he cuts off with a saw, hareil shebalabayis, that belongs to the owner. However, yoit betachas mekadech, whatever comes out from the drill, umetachas ritni, from under a plane, vanigra megera, or the sawdust that comes when you use a saw, hareil shaloi, belongs to the carpenter. Amishna says that they belong to the carpenter, what comes off the matzit. The Braisa says it belongs to the owner. Amarava, but as with the Tanadon, in the place of the Tanava Mishnah, Iketati Chatsini, there were two types of tools. Lerbasti Karli Kshil, the larger one was called a Kshil, Lazutri Kari Matzid, and the small one was called a Matzid. Basa Tanabra, but the Tanada Braisa, Chadad Ika, there was only one type of tool, the larger one, the Karli Matzid, and it was called a Matzid, and from the larger tool, everybody agrees that the shavings go to the owner. But if he was working on the owner's premises, then everything belongs to the owner. Tanabaran. Somebody who chisels stones, Amen Shem Gizel. The leftovers belong to the worker. Mefaske Alonis, those who prune trees. Mefaske Kifonim, those who prune grapevines. Menachvi Higa, those who prune thorn bushes. Menachshiz Roim, those who take out unwanted vegetation. Vajri Yerokis, those who prune vegetables. Bezmach Balabayis Makbid Aleim, if the owner is Makbid, Yesh B'mishum Gezel, if you'd keep it. And Balabayis Makbid, Hareil Shaloi, you'll have to keep it for yourself. Amar Yehuda, Koshes V'chazes, these are different types of greens, and B'mishum Gezel. Because the people are happy that they should be taken because they're not really beneficial, or others explain if you pull them out, new, better ones will grow. Says the Gemara, but ask the Kapti, but if it's a place where the owners are Makbid, Yesh B'mishum Gezel, then there's a problem of Gezel. Om Ravina, and says Ravina, on Masa Machasya, the place of Masa Machasya, ask the Kapti, who was a place that they were Makbid on this. So I saw the Mefarshim point out that we can end the Masechta with the words the Kaptihu, the people are Makbid. So some say that actually we're really not ending a Masechta, because as we've discussed, Baba Kama, Baba Metzi, and Baba Basra are really all one Masechta. Another pshat is Rashi says, the last words of Rashi, V'tzrichen l'mira toiv. So Rashi ends the Masechta with the word toiv. The last pshat that I saw, another pshat that I saw, is that the word hu is one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names. So we're ending the Masechta with the word who. We're ending the Masechta with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because wherever we go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes with us, and he should always go with us to give us and bring us Siyata Deshmaya, specifically in our Liman HaTorah, that we should be Matzliach, Lilmad Olamed, Lishma Lassus L'Kayim, as called Divrei Salmatar Secha. Hanun Lach HaGoyz L'Basra, V'Slikolach Masechta B'Vakama, Mazel Tov.